This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number three, Barton Hahn, a lively show today. Spent half that break just yelling at each other. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Alan Hahn. It's Bart Scott. It is ESPN Radio. And tonight, the NBA Finals resume, and the NBA Finals are on ESPN Radio. Game three tonight. Tune in. You got the Celtics and the Warriors. It's presented by Indeed, and coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern on most ESPN Radio stations. And, of course, Bart, it's hour number three. What does that mean?
It's the power hour, 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 hour.
Let's bring some power into the conversation to do that. Doris Burke joins us right now, part of the broadcast, ESPN NBA analyst, of course. Doris, how are we doing?
Superb, superb. Can't wait for tip, although 907 is still a long way away.
That's right. It does feel like that. We have that northeast problem, too, when we do the 907. Why does that have to be so late? And then you realize that it's actually 607 on the West Coast. But it has been, it felt like, with the 2 days off, it's felt like a long wait. And, Doris, it's felt like the only person that's done any talking is Draymond Green. It just feels like he's the only one that has had anything really of substance to say, aside, of course, from Klay Thompson watching his YouTube videos. How big of an impact do you think Draymond and everything he has said and the Boston crowd, is that going to be a primary story in this game tonight, or do you think it's just sort of a sideshow?
Yeah, I think that's a sideshow, to be honest with you. If you've watched Draymond Green perform over the years, he wasn't doing that much outside of what he typically does when he's engaged at the highest level. And, you know, as he does as good a job as anybody I've ever seen at sort of walking up to that line. I described it yesterday as somebody who is not out of bounds, but their heel is hovering above out of bounds. Technically, that's not, you know, out of bounds in the NBA. And obviously, I thought he went a little over the line with his feet across Jalen's face. But listen, to me, this is about a couple things for the Boston Celtics. Number one, Jason Tatum tonight, I'm interested in his attitude and his demeanor and approach as he goes to the cup, because I thought he has spent too large a portion of his time looking for calls, not going with authority. You know, he shot the three pretty well, guys, 7 for 14. So he's found his rhythm from three. To me, he's just got to play no matter what. I don't want to see anything demonstrative. Nothing. If he doesn't get a call, just sprint back and play defense. So that's one thing. And then the turnovers, guys. I had the Eastern Conference Finals. Their through line for the Celtics in wins and losses is about, do they turn it over? Do they trigger the breaks of Milwaukee, Miami, and now Golden State? And when they do, they lose.
And when they won in the Eastern Conference Finals, it was really based on spurts in quarters. And one game they won was from a spurt in quarters. How important is it for them to play consistent, understand that this isn't Miami, that they're going to have to play a full game and not just hope to get one of these magical quarters like they've been getting of late?
Yeah. And listen, you know, you see games turn in that 4-plus-minute stretch in these particular environments. And this is where I think I'm going to keep pounding on Jason Tatum, and this doesn't mean that I'm putting it all on his shoulders. It'd be interesting to go back through the prior two series, but I'm convinced of it in this last game. Even if he's not shooting it well, he's got to be involved in the offense. To me, the Celtics are at their best when they're mixing their two kinds of offense. The first one is when it's multiple drive and kicks, and you see the others get involved, the Horfords, the Smarts, the Whites, and they make shots. To me, that's when the Celtics feel unbeatable, is when the others are doing their thing. Jason is making all the right decisions. Jaylen Brown is getting downhill. So they mix that drive and kick, ball movement, and they also mix in mismatch. You know, you're not spending 48 minutes hunting the mismatch, but if you can find the mismatch for the two wings that can, you know, bring a smaller defender down into the low box, they can take advantage in transition. So those stretches where they don't get touches for Tatum, that's problematic for me.
Doris Burke joining us right now. We got game three tonight in Boston between the Warriors and the Celtics. Something that, Doris, we were talking about earlier in the show, we got a lot of calls on it too. As we look at the Golden State Warriors, I've been saying about this series, it's very interesting. It's almost like the Warriors looking at their past and the Celtics looking at hopefully what could be their future. Two franchises kind of built very similarly through the draft with a couple of players that they keep together, they build around, adding smart, you know, veteran-type leaders around them. I can go through all the parallels, but I think I'm sure by now you can see them too. when I say regardless of whether they win or lose this championship, the Warriors right now in North American sports, that's like a model franchise. The way they've done it, what they went through for 2 years after losing KD, the Klay injury, Steph's injury, never panicking, never wavering, investing, spending a ton of money, obviously the highest payroll, and what they've done. Like, do you see them as that? Like, what they're doing? We've had the process. We've had super teams. That's really the model of how to build a sustainable, successful franchise, is it not?
No question. And I found it interesting that Zach Lowe, and I don't know which environment he sort of reported this, but you see some growing momentum that there's grumbling and frustration as it relates to Joe Lacob and the amount of money he's willing to spend. I mean, listen, to me, you have two organizations in the finals where there's strength in ownership, there's strength in management. They've drafted well. You know, the Celtics, there are a couple drafts, maybe you question a couple things, but they are about the collective as much as they have stars. They're about the collective, and there's a commitment that comes to winning, and that means money. And listen, I give a ton of credit to Bob Myers for the decision making, and then the empowerment from Joe Lacob to do the job he did. And it'll be fascinating, guys, if they pull this championship off while not giving up any capital as it relates to Kuminga and Moody, et cetera, you know, can others make these kinds of decisions and stay good for a long time through multiple eras? It will be fascinating. Mm. And can I just talk a little bit about Steph Curry and the kind of, you know, leadership he provides? And I'm so tired of the discussion about his place in history. Like, the Celtics, their personnel and their schemes have worked for a lot of great players: KD, Giannis, Jimmy Butler. Like, each of those guys got to their games and they played well, but they ended up getting beaten. You know, the bigs, and I don't know how much Robert Williams, you know, health is playing a part of this, but they've got a Stephen Curry problem, because typically Horford and Williams and Grant Williams can stay in front and do all that's necessary. The beauty of Steph is he can play in this motion offense where there's, you know, back cuts and, you know, flares and hammers and you name it that they're coming up, but he can also play in pick and roll. And Grant Williams has tried to guard this guy, I think, like 10 times, and they've given up 17 points. Like, if he's not a part of this and Robert Williams isn't healthy and Al Horford clearly struggled to contain Steph, they've got a Stephen Curry problem. And then just to the broader context of who he is and how what he is shapes this entire organization. Yeah. He's a unique superstar in every sense of the word.
I'm with you on that. We did discuss that too earlier in the show, is the fact that Steph almost allows all this to happen, not necessarily because he sees it as, okay, I allow this, but more just his personality allows the culture to exist where he can be coached, right? Where he can have a bad game and have accountability. Klay Thompson could easily say, I want out of here. I could be a star on my own. No, he's fine playing that secondary role to a guy that's a star. But, like, Curry, it's the amazing way you describe it, first of all. Because in this series, you're absolutely right. They can't drop off. I mean, on that pick and roll, you cannot drop back. But if you get up too tight, he's so good with his handle, he can get by you. Daniel Tice, I almost feel like, I don't know if he can play again another game in this series because he's struggling so much when they get him in the pick and roll. But it really does. It is remarkable to think about where the Warriors are after all these years, 8 years, now the sixth trip, and then also where Steph Curry is. And I guess that's why we get into these conversations about where he is in, you know, the context of all-time greatness, right, in NBA history, because of all these things. And we'll see tonight if it continues, because Ime Udoka and the Celtics have been really good at adjusting game to game. That's like Bart mentioned. They just seem to, they'll have a bad game, they'll lose, and they'll come right back and have a solid game, usually off a blowout. So do you see them making an adjustment on Steph Curry? I mean, can they, and what can they do?
Yeah. You know, it's so fascinating to me because it's their strategy and personnel has worked so perfectly. But you're right about Tice. I think he's unplayable. Al Horford, typically, he can stay there for about 3 or 4 seconds. He slides his feet. He does a good job staying in front. And then inevitably the handle step gets him about 4 or 5 steps of separation, even if it's 2.5 steps. That's enough for Steph to get that 3 off. and then it comes raining down. You know, I'm curious, can Grant Williams, who has been so crucial to their success, to me, he's a guy that I'm very curious about tonight. Again, 10 times on ball screens guarding Steph, 8 times in game 2. So as soon as he checked in, they clearly attacked him. I feel like he's a better option in the regards of staying with Steph closer, because I feel like his ability to close more quickly than Al, he's smaller, he's got a little bit more foot speed, both laterally and north and south. And so I'm curious, can Grant, you know, sort of be the guy that we saw in game 7 against Milwaukee, who made shots, who was physically up to the task of guarding Giannis, obviously a distinctly different thing. Just really curious, really curious. And the other part of this is, I don't know how much Robert Williams' knee is affecting his ability to close north and south. Because when you watched him, Barton Allen, when you watched him in the regular season, he took so many guys by surprise in his ability to be in the paint, 2 feet in the paint, and either close to the corner or close to the top of the key and deflect a three. Even Steve Kerr, before this series started, said, I was surprised on a couple of occasions, both against us and then on tape, at how much ground he covers. So we'll see. We'll see what that adjustment is. And I do think, like, for the Boston Celtics, think about it, guys. If they don't turn it over 19 times and generate 33, it's our discussion is entirely different. Right. So,
you know, Doris, we talk about them having a Steph problem, and maybe they can not stop Steph, but slow him down a little bit, make him not as efficient. But can the Warriors win if Boston doesn't have a bit of a Klay problem? And how do you get Klay open shots without having to put the ball on the ground and dribble?
First thing I would do if I was Klay is I'd stop shooting off-the-bounce jumpers. Mm-hmm. Because his off-the-bounce jumpers numbers in this series are horrific. And to me, it's just a little bit of Klay pressing. He so badly wants to make his impact on the offensive end. You know, they had to take him off Jaylen Brown, right? Draymond Green took that assignment to a much greater degree in game 2 because Klay's just not there yet. Like, it's going to be next season before we see Klay closer in terms of lateral mobility and ability to guard the elite players. I still think we're months away from that. But on offense, I feel like he's pressing too much, and it's understandable. He wants to play to the standard he set, not understanding there's physical limitations. It's almost like my mind believes, but my body won't follow quite yet. If I'm Klay, I'm going to think about moving as much as I possibly can and with incredible authority, speed, running my routes like with great detail the way a wide receiver would, and stop taking off the bounce threes, unless it's like, you know, I've got Al Horford in front of me on a switch. I'm going to dribble once right to get a little separation, a one dribble pull up. But I'm sitting here talking to you guys and trying to find the note here about Klay off the bounce. I mean,
I saw absolutely, the 30%, okay, so right?
Off
it's
the
terrible.
Bounce, off the bounce, guys, 3 for 18. Off a pass, he's 7 for 15.
There you are.
Off a bounce, 3-0 for 3. Off the pass, 3-4 for 12. So just, you know, he's got to stop pressing and try to let it come to him a little bit more.
Mm. Yeah. By the way, as a former athlete, that whole idea of my brain wants to do something my body can't right now, can totally relate to that, Doris.
You know when that happened to me? After I delivered my second child.
That sounds a lot tougher than me. I'll tell you that. Doris, always great to catch up with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys, for having me. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, all the best. So Doris Burke will be on the coverage tonight, of course, ESPN, NBA on ESPN Radio. And coming up, we'll continue talking about the Warriors. And again, that idea of the model franchise, is there a better model franchise in sports right now than Golden State? If it is, tell me about it. Tell me who it is. Because I just feel like if you're going to follow someone and how they built what they built, I'm not following the process in Philly. I'm following what they did in Golden State. We'll get to your calls in 30 seconds. But first, I want to tell you about Masterworks. The Miracle on Ice, Helmet Catch, the Flu Game. Clutch moments like these that separate the winners from the losers. So in a market sometimes down 16%, 50%, 92%, who's pulling off the win? Well, look no further than this exciting market with a global value of $1.7 trillion. And it's only going to get bigger. In fact, experts predict it will grow by another $1 trillion in less than 5 years. And here's the cool thing. You don't have to be a baller or a team owner to get in on the action. All you need is a smartphone. It's not betting. This is way more impactful. Check it out. It's called Masterworks. They've already got over 400,000 members on their platform. And ESPN listeners get priority access to skip the wait list. Just go to Masterworks.com. Use my promo code HAN. Masterworks.com. Promo code HAN. Masterworks.com. Promo code H-A-H-N. See important Regulation A disclosures at Masterworks.io/CD. There's no guarantee of profits, and investing includes risk of loss.
I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and you would see Obi-Wan Kenobi do this all the time. It's called Jedi mind tricks. He's like, you will not be doing this, and waves his two fingers across, right? That is what I watched Draymond Green do to the Boston Celtics.
I don't want to offend anybody, yeah. But I don't even know who Kenobi
is. Obi-Wan Kenobi, oh, I got you.
Up What's until up? A couple years ago, I thought it was Dark Vader.
Yeah, Dark Vader.
I thought it was Lifesaver.
Every little kid thought it was Lifesaver when they were. Makes perfect sense.
Oh, I took out the Lifesaver.
It's even the same color as the Lifesavers. It's like green, red,
That's
blue.
It's candy.
Yeah. The red ones are the best.
The red ones are the best. I like the yellow ones, personally.
Damn! I mean, Keyshawn and Max should never talk about Star Wars ever again. I mean, Lifesaver? Did he say he thought he was Dark Vader?
I lost so much respect for Key after that.
I mean, Key, you know, and Key, we're the same age, so he grew up with it. He can't act like, you know, oh, that wasn't, come on, like his
like,
childhood.
Like that wasn't the move.
Stop it. Your childhood had that. Those movies, from A New Hope to Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi, when you were a kid, there was no bigger movies
he was watching Back
than
to
those.
The Future.
And if don't even try.
He's like, I was watching Back to the Future.
And don't tell me it's this cultural thing. He always likes to do that, too. You know, in my neighborhood, no. In your neighborhood, they were showing this stuff, too.
We was watching Fat Albert. Hey.
No, man. Like, that's
a thing for you.
I take great offense to anything like that.
I was watching Dolomite.
I find your lack of faith disturbing. I give Jay credit for trying to introduce like a Star Wars reference. These are not the droids you're looking for.
Yeah, Jay's a little younger, so maybe he saw it on the flip side.
Maybe he did, but at least he tried to make a reference that neither one of them could figure out. But look, we can't help. Like, you know, we can't help anymore. We did all we could for that show. We can't help anymore. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. I asked Doris, though, Bart, like about the Draymond impact. Because he's done all the talking, and he keeps talking. Like, he's taking shots at Cedric Maxwell.
Everybody else is chilling.
Yeah, I agree. No, we know
everybody
what he's doing.
Locked in.
But what he was saying, though, about knowing, you know, the line he can, you know, cross or how far he can go, what he can do on the court, what he likes to do, all those things. Like what he's talked about is something that everybody's paid attention to. The NBA certainly is aware. Mm-hmm. Scott Foster, who is, as I told you, Scott Foster is like the sheriff. And he has been in the officiating crew for the finals. This game was his turn. It just so happens to be his turn. I am curious to see if Draymond gets the same treatment that Chris Paul got in Game 4 of the Dallas series, where the league kind of let him know, we're done with the flopping, we're done with all the histrionics, all these things that you've been doing that you're trying to kind of sun your opponent. And you're getting away with too much. It's time for it to stop.
But really,
and he fouled out of that game.
But really, what Draymond did was not too much. Man.
Well, I'm putting his legs on top of Jalen's head.
I mean, he fell over him and he slid the leg over there.
Did he need to do that?
Yeah, but you can't.
Then he stood over him. Like, you know, then he tried to, when he stood up, he tried to pull his shorts down, I should say.
Yeah, but he didn't snag it. It was just a little snag. Like, see, it was, if it would have put it down,
you know it's unnecessary.
If you'd have put it down when you saw the tights, then that's. He put it just enough.
I still think it was right not to give him the tech, not to go double text because you knew he already had a tech.
And here's
the point
Draymond.
Is, though, is he knows what he's doing.
Yes.
And now the question is, when this series goes to Boston, where the Boston crowd is different, as you know, they're going to be all heightened looking for it, as you know, it's just something that I'm wondering, does Scott Foster say, listen, Jay, we're not doing this tonight.
Scott Foster's not going to be influenced by the crowd. He don't
care. I don't mean that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So, like, for me.
But Draymond could be because they're going to be on him and he's going to be hyped by it.
He don't care. Like, listen, when you the heel, that stuff, like the peons, that don't matter. You all peons to me. Like, only crowd that I care about is mine.
What did Kyrie say? The cockroaches?
Yeah, like you peons. Like, y'all all slithered up. Y'all don't know what the hell y'all talking about anyway. Hmm. Y'all damn sure don't know nothing about no basketball. Not at the level that I know basketball at. Okay. So I don't care, y'all. I don't take y'all booze personally. All right. I don't care less about y'all.
Listen to Brian Scalabrine about this. Brian Scal, you hear him on the NBA radio in the mornings, but also he's on Celtics, the TV side of things where he does the pre and post.
The only thing I really had a problem with is him coming out on the podcast afterwards and saying that. Like, I agree with Draymond. I don't disagree. And he's being honest, so I can't really fault him for that. But, you know, saying that is like basically like, you know, kind of sticking it to the NBA's face. Like, I'm above the law. I can do whatever I want. The NBA is not going to kick me out, which I kind of disagreed with those comments. But as far as from a basketball standpoint, Draymond's not dumb. He knows exactly what you have to do to the Celtics. You have to kind of get under their skin. You've got to kind of make them uncomfortable. And Draymond's a master at the shenanigans and playing that way. Like, the Boston Celtics aren't ready for that, nor is it their personality.
I'm telling you, I think it's something to watch tonight early. And something Nelson Doris said about Grant Williams playing, because Tyce can't, and maybe even Robert Williams, they might have to play small. Both teams play small.
Yeah,
I think it's a win for the Warriors.
But here's the thing as well, though. Like, Draymond understands how the game is going to be called by what happens in the first couple minutes. So he'll gauge it. He knows there's certain games where you got to tighten it up.
Yep.
But you still can get it in.
Okay.
It's always games where you can be an irritant. And I don't have to be a verbal irritant to be an irritant. I can mess with you. I can poke you in the back. I can grab your shorts. I can say whisper right. stuff in
away
your
from
ear.
The play.
Yeah, it's more ways where I can do it without being so obvious. And he'll know, and he'll talk to the ref. Say, listen, ref, this is basketball. For the length of basketball, and the guy Scott Foster is a historian. He's been around the game, been in some big moments. You've been around players like me. You know what I'm doing.
Oh, he knows.
And you know how important. You know how you go to a boxing match, and you and part of the judge's craft is on generalship and ring generalship. What Draymond is doing is the ring generalship of basketball. It's the mental side of basketball. It's the uncomfortable place of me being in your personal space
and how
of
you
basketball.
Handle it. Yeah, well,
right. So some referees should look at that like, listen, this is basketball.
Okay.
At a high level.
It's the
mind tricks.
I don't disagree with any of it. I'm just telling you that I think it's going to be something to watch in this game tonight.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a story.
It's the biggest thing to watch.
No doubt about that. All right. You want a chance to win some cash just by tuning in? Listen to the NBA on ESPN Radio Basketball Championship broadcast tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern, with the chance to win $3,000. We got your calls coming up, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Also, for one team, it was a promising start, but things have suddenly gone south. We'll discuss. Spartan Hot, ESPN Radio, ESPN app.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Han.
Alone in my room, staring at. Cool out, man. We on the radio.
It's cold as hell, man.
No. Don't you touch that. Bart's going over to the thermostat. Now, what else can you break in this studio today? Bart and Han. Alan Han, Bart Scott. We've done this before. I'll ask again. Ambient temperature. We're in the warm weather season again. Ambient temperature in your home. 68 degrees.
Hey, you crazy.
68 degrees.
You crazy. What you got on?
It doesn't matter.
No, what you got on?
Why do I have to?
Because
no.
I hate when people say 68 degrees and they walk around the house with a hoodie.
Well, I'm
That's
not wearing
stupid.
A hoodie in my house in the summer. But in my house in the summer, it's 68 degrees.
Okay, what is it in the winter?
72.
So that's what I don't get.
Because 68 feels better.
So 72 is the desired heat. Or 70.
Nah, not 62. 72 is too high for the summer.
Okay.
I need, when you come in from heat and humidity, which today is like one of those first times we're starting to feel summer here in the Northeast.
Okay.
And this is like one of the first days you're really feeling it. And I'm telling you, coming in from heat and humidity, 68 feels good.
So does 70 feel good when you're leaving out of 90?
I mean, it's all relative.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. So just keep it at 71 the entire year. Now, whether you need to turn the air on.
You can't do an odd number. There's something wrong about odd numbers.
If you need to take the air on to take it to 70, you're fine. If you need to turn the heat up to take it to 70, it don't matter how you get there. You just get there.
I don't know.
Get there 70, when you can.
70? No.
Exactly.
We want you to think O'Reilly Auto Parts for your car care needs. They're close, convenient, known for guaranteed everyday low prices, excellent customer service from professional parts people you can trust. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Bart, has the Eastern Conference Finals and the Stanley Cup playoffs, has it flipped? Even though it's 2-2 now. Lightning win last night. It was a convincing win for them last night. Mm-hmm. In Tampa, and they even the series after being down 0-2 coming back from the two games in New York to start the series. Now, Game 5 is here in New York at the Garden, I believe tomorrow. Yeah, so has it flipped, though? Because now do they have quote-unquote momentum because they won two games?
Well, of course. But, you know, you can seize the momentum. You have to understand, okay, well, what do we have to do? We have to get them in the power play. What do we have to do? We got to apply pressure. Right? We got to apply pressure. We got to get shots on goal. Listen, I forgot how many shots the Lightning blocked. Was like 17 or something like that that they blocked?
They took away the middle of the ice.
Exactly.
They did. They sat in a 1-4 after taking the one, you know, they get the early goal by of all people, like Maroon, like a fourth liner.
2 minutes. 2 minutes.
Yeah, it just, but that's what you got to do. And then they just sat back. I feel like John Cooper and the Lightning showed they have a ton of respect for the Rangers by the way they played that game with the lead.
Yes.
They weren't taking chances. They were not playing fire wagon like the Avalanche are going to play, whoever plays them in the finals. They sat back, they bottled it up, and they were disciplined. They took one penalty. There was one power play that the Rangers had, and that's how they score. They only score in the power play. They don't score in 5-on-5 because the Lightning won't let you. So that's where we're at right now, 2-2. But I don't feel like it's something panic time.
It's not.
I still want Eeyore to steal a game. That'd be nice.
You have to understand that you're playing with house money and write what you have to say. And I know you
no
brought
Ranger
that
fan
up.
Wants to no, hear no, no, that, no, 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 no. I agree with
no,
you.
No, no, no. What,
I
I'm
agree
saying, what I'm saying is when I'm speaking to my team, we're playing with house money. And I'm telling you, go out there and play free. Discipline, not reckless. Go play free and apply the pressure on them. All the pressure is on them to come steal one because what they say, if we got home court advantage, or home ice advantage.
Just got to win your home game.
Yeah, exactly. So the pressure's on them to steal one.
Right.
If we don't let them steal one, we win the series.
Now,
we don't want it to come down to that.
No, you don't want it to be. See, I would treat – see, I think you go – if you can win game five, you're home, you got your building, you got your crowd, all that stuff.
Excuse me.
If you can win game five, so you put the heat on now, like I can't breathe now.
Man, it's still cold in here.
You treat game six on the road like it's a game seven. That's what you do.
Yeah, but
so you don't. You're right. The pressure doesn't apply until it's elimination time. You treat Game Six like it's Game Seven. That's how you have to handle it because you feel like get the one on the road. You turn that into the elimination game, not Game Seven. You don't feel like now we're up 3-2. No, you've got to go for the jugular. So I feel like it's a matter of you got to get on the power play, which the Lightning were disciplined, did not do that, and on top of it, you got to worry about injuries. Having no Strome in this game was an impactful thing. Goudreau barely played. And then on top of it, you lose Hedl during the game. Hedl was part of that kid line that has been so good. And now you got to start moving pieces around. That's a big part of the problem as well, is they have been relatively healthy. You've dealt with it in this game. You're hoping that it's not going to be a major impact going forward in the series. Because if it is, now you worry.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what it is, right? It's adversity. And it doesn't doesn't define character, reveals it. So let's see what this team is made out of, this young team. Let's see if the veterans and Kreider and Sabanajak, if they can come up and they can inspire, lead by example.
Well, that's what you always
They're going to need
for.
You to step up big. Like, yeah. You know, that's what happens. It's footprints. When your team can't carry itself, it's those times that your superstars are supposed to carry your team, man. At home ice, listen, you should have something in your head. You're in their head. Much like when in the Hurricane series, like they had in their head that they were invincible at home. You know, you can still maintain, you still can maintain that.
Yeah, I'm with you. But one thing you have to acknowledge for the Lightning, Nikita Kucherov has been the best player in this series. He has been phenomenal. Dominated Game 3, and you just knew he was going to will them to a win, and he did. I think he did have impact on each goal, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
he needs to become your mark.
He also in Game 4 was phenomenal. Dominated the game. That break-in goal. That second, you knew right away, like, that's in. Like, you just knew it. That's in. Because he was not going to miss that one. He beat Shesterkin with a great, just, it was a beautiful pass, too. Split the D, went right in, and buries it. It's 2-0, and now you felt like it just felt insurmountable by the way the Lightning were playing.
From the start, it just felt like.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Like, this is the one where they just didn't have the energy or they couldn't figure it out. Now you got to adjust to the judge.
You get your energy off the middle. This team gets their energy off the power play. You're right.
Right.
Didn't have the energy 5-on-5 because why? Because the Lightning, it was a, can I say it was a boring game?
Yeah, they shut the door.
It was a boring game. Yeah.
I mean, I just shut it down. I clicked away a couple times, and
yeah.
I knew it was inevitable.
Yeah, it was a boring game. But if he's the best player on the ice, and he and Stamkos are putting up numbers the way they're putting it up, that's the problem too. You got to be able to match it. Can they? Is this series over now that you saw it? It's 2-2. Of course, it's not. But watching it, all right, I won't say is it over. Has it flipped in favor of the Lightning? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. All right, we'll continue with your calls. Also, Game 3 of the NBA Finals. How's it going to play out tonight? How big of an impact will Draymond Green have? How big of an impact will Scott Foster have? We'll discuss. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Well, are you concerned about the Mets and the injury bug continuing? I know we've gotten some positive news about Jacob DeGrom.
Yeah.
That he could be back sooner rather than later. Max Scherzer's got, the dog bit his hand. We got that going on.
What, he has some sausages on his hand?
But how about your guy, Pete Alonso, last night? Yu Darvish pitched a brilliant game, but early on was wild. Hitting everybody. He had three batters.
Yeah.
Three of the first five, in fact.
I don't think Pete's.
But he hit Pete in the hand.
I don't think Pete was intentional because Pete was kind of coming through, check swinging.
Right.
And he caught it on the fingers, man.
But still, he got hit in the hand and he got taken out of the game.
Yeah, he failed. At first, I was wondering, like, what happened because he failed? But it just been in his hand.
So I thought this was interesting. So we're still waiting to hear if the Mets give us any updates. They're out on the West Coast, so obviously it's going to be a little bit later. But Buck Showalter was asked about best case scenario in a couple of days, you get him. And Starling Marte also had some quad issue.
Yeah, he's still in base.
So quad tightness. Buck's response was, I love your optimism, but I don't share it at this point.
Yeah, and that's tough, because right now, you think about Pete and the season that he's been having, the fact that he leads the league or one or two in RBIs, 16 home runs. He's been like the catalyst, and this has really been a bounce back year for him from struggling last year.
Yep.
You know what I mean? So he's like the emotional leader for them. You know what I mean? I understand that Lindor hasn't been here long enough. This is Pete Alonso's team,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to miss his bat.
Well, they certainly remember they were putting up big numbers run-wise during this stretch.
And they need it because of the pitching. Tyron Walker.
Now all of a sudden they can't score.
Yeah, Tyron Walker was all over the place yesterday, balling, floating in the middle of the plate, high, mm-hmm. Getting some of them CU balls out of there. You know what I mean? So it's going to be interesting, man. But, I know
Buck. You can use Dom Smith.
Yeah, call him up. I'm sure he's going to be called back up.
Right?
And let's see if he can get righteous again.
I mean, you would.
So maybe this can be a blessing in disguise if Dom can come back and he's learned his lessons sitting there staying in a Motel 8 the last 2 weeks. He's like, you know what? Hell no. I ain't never going. Hey, yo, Mick, I ain't going to back down
going
no
back
more.
No more. Yeah. No, well, look, would it be a blessing in disguise for who? You. It's all you care about is getting Dom Smith back in action, getting him up with the big club. That's what you want. But still, you know, like, this is the time of year now. You've got your depth has to get you through some of this stuff. There are a lot of people that felt like the Mets should have thrown back. I don't know if that's.
That's childish.
The guy was the guy who just didn't have control. That's
you, Darvish, ain't that type of guy.
No. We're back in 10 seconds.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. We want you to tune into the ESPN Daily Podcast. It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. It's presented by Supercuts. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily, available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. So we got Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. Full coverage begins 8 p.m. Eastern. Tip off a little bit after 9. You can catch it on ESPN Radio. Also, ABC as well. Mike Breen back on the call. Good news.
Bang!
Yes, we will. I imagine we'll get a couple of those tonight, right?
Yeah, he might. He got them saved up. Bang, bang, bang. You're like, hold on, hold on, man. You pops. The bang, bang, bang.
Right, first quarter happens. You just like, you got to
save
him.
Bang.
Pace yourself, hey, Mike. Pace yourself. Yeah.
Going a little too hard, eh?
Mm-hmm. But still, the Draymond stuff is something you're watching because you just want to see with the Boston crowd and him and knowing that he has been that line stepper these last couple of games that are there's been so much talk. He's had a lot to say, obviously. I don't mind him talking. I feel like this new media thing's got to stop.
Well, listen, he's got to stop. He's doing what Brandon Marshall did. Listen, he's making that transition.
No, him saying it, him constantly doing this whole, that's the new media, like, dial it down, man. Like, you know, if all we did in sports media is have you guys talk,
yeah,
you know what it'd be? Boring.
All softball questions.
Thank you. Boring.
But it's the thing, right? Like, he's doing, like, He's planting seeds, right? He's trying to set himself up for after.
I think,
but like,
he's set up. He's already got a deal with TNT. He's set up.
But it's one of those things is if you say it enough, people start to believe it.
Yeah.
Like, you just keep saying it. No matter people say, no, you're wrong. You just keep saying it.
The world needs Stephen A. Smith just as much. Sports world needs Stephen A. Smith just as much as it needs Draymond Green.
Just keep saying it. Listen, if anything's taught you about the psyche of people, if you just say something and you say it all the time, is subconsciously
speaking into existence.
Yeah, it subconsciously goes into people's brains. Like, oh, it's new media. Like, how many times, like, we heard her say fake news. Now everybody says fake news.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
And that whether, got, you, whether you mean nauseating. Or not. Right, right.
That's everybody started using that. It was so nauseating.
My point. Because it just sticks in your brain. So sometimes you say it, like, in defense of something, you can't think of something. Ah, fake news.
Still, Draymond is one of those guys. I saw this in the Post, and I actually thought it was pretty cool. So, if you can make like a team of five players in all sports, give me five players in sports that hate him unless he's on your team.
Yeah,
is Draymond that guy?
I don't know if he makes
like
it quite.
You love him more on your team.
I don't know,
but you hate playing against him.
He might not be on that team.
What?
I mean, I got Hines Ward.
I'm talking about now, current players.
Oh, okay, right now. Okay, good. I'm about to go Ryan Artest.
Yeah, exactly.
Dennis Rodman.
Yeah, there's plenty of guys that you could say that about.
Yeah, right now, absolutely.
But I'm talking about Roger Clemens is one of those guys, right?
You're talking about new schools.
Yeah, like, sorry, right, let's go current.
So it's him, Patrick Beverley.
Okay.
Who's
somebody in the NFL?
On the NFL, is Richie Incognito still there? Get out of there yet?
You were quick to come up with Richie.
Yeah, Richie's a jerk sandwich.
I mean, just somebody that you hated. We shouldn't have done this in the last segment. It's kind of fun, though, to think about it, right? Like, because there's the whole league. I mean, Perfect used to be that guy, right? Or did you hate having him on your team, too, because penalties?
Yeah, no. You need somebody to
Josh Norman would have been on.
He's an irritant.
Yeah.
Richard Sherman.
Yeah.
Because he talks so much trash, you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think in hockey, you know, Kadri's one of those guys. You know, you'd rather have him on your team. You certainly hate playing against him because he's just a pain in the ass to play against, you know. But still, I do think he's going to have an impact on this game tonight. I think it's going to matter.
Of course he is. He's been doing this for too long at a high level being an irritant.
Edmund's in New York, Bart. He's got a very interesting question for you, Edmund.
Guys, a lot of interesting stuff going on. It's going to be a busy sports week going on now because I think New York Jets have an opportunity to go after Baker Mayfield. Now, if you guys remember the draft, Alan, I know you do. I'm a Jets fan.
Mm-hmm.
wasn't Sam Darnold fell to us. So is it a possibility? Do we want to win a playoff game, or do we want to develop this quarterback that we currently have on the roster? Because
so,
I
Edwin,
do believe in him.
You really think that the Jets should consider scrapping Zach Wilson and going for Baker Mayfield?
No, I didn't
Mayfield.
Say scrap. I want a competition. Sorry.
It's no competition with your second-year quarterback. You're trying to make sure that he understands that this is his team. You don't want that pressure over him, and Baker Mayfield was – you couldn't stand Baker Mayfield as far as the overexposure in Cleveland. What do you think New York is going to do for him? He'll be unsufferable. You know, he needs to go somewhere and be humbled. Like, if you don't get humbled after you need to, then you just get emboldened to be the guy that you've been.
I'm looking at Cleveland right now with all of Deshaun's issues and the New York Times story, and I'm looking at Cleveland like, are you sure you're ready to get rid of me right now?
Jacoby Brissett's good.
Don't forget, too, Zach Wilson.
Beefy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Let's don't forget that. Rich Cimini already telling us that he had some great 11-on-11, right? They were doing some of that stuff, but I know obviously not wearing any pads.
Hey, man, they got some good players, man. Mm-hmm. They got some good players. And if Baker Mayfield couldn't ball out with the players that he had, then what imagine if you bring
tonight,
him here?
Who wins, Celtics?
Come on, Warriors. Man. Come on, Warriors.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the Warriors get this one. All right, Jeff. See you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.